This week's parasha, Kisaitse, will tie on the end of the parasha with the beginning of the parasha. The end of the parasha, you have what we lay in parasha Zohar, and the pasuk tells you have to remember what Amalek did, but Tseischem Mei Eretz Mitzrayim. What he did to us on the way when we came out of Mitzrayim. Why does it mention where he attacked us? How is that Megea? He attacked us. That's all we should care about. Obviously, where it was also has significance. The pshat is, what it's telling us is, when Klal Yisrael came of Mitzrayim, they were very inspired at the time. They had seen the Makkos, the Kris Yamsuf. And at that time, they were riding on a high. They had such a munah in the Rabbeinu Shalom, v'yaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi. Right then, Amalek wanted to attack, to take them down from that high, to make it more difficult, Klal Yisrael. Amalek is the Yetzer Hara. And that's why it says, Amalek came, it says, a lashon of korcha baderech. Korcha is a lashon of kriris, of kar. He tried to cool us off. He tried to cool us off the excitement that we had at that time. That is what the Yitzhara tries to do. What do we have to do? We have to fight back against the Yitzhara. Becomes now a beginning of Zman, and people are inspired. That's why you see how they come on time, they're punctual. There's inspiration to do the right thing at the beginning of Zman. So the Pasuk says, Ki seitzei la mulchoma. We're talking about the biggest mulchoma you have in your life. The mulchoma with the Yetzirah. When you go out to fight that battle, says the Ksav Sefer. A person could think, the Gemara in Sukkah says, if it wasn't for the Rabbeinu Shalom, we could never beat the Yetzirah. He would win every time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. So a person might think, listen, I can't beat the Yetzirah. Rabbeinu Shalom, you can do it on your own. You don't need my help. So I'll sit back and relax. And Rabbeinu Shalom, take care of my Yetzirah. But it's not true. Says the Mishnah in Ovis. Ein ani li mili. If I don't do mine, if I don't put in the effort, I won't be successful. But I have to remember, even if I do put in the effort, im ani la'atzmi, if I'm on my own, if I don't have the Rabbeinu Shalom helping me, giving me siyat d'shmaya, mo'ani, what am I? I'm not going to manage without the Rabbeinu Shalom. Says the Pasuk, ki seitzei la'molchoma, when you go out to fight, it's got to be that you do yours, you go and fight the Yetzirah, alevecha. When you do yours, when you go and make that battle and do everything you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you siyat d'shmaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the enemy in your hands. And that inspiration will stay with you the whole Zman. You'll be able to shtai constantly. The Pasuk says, Ki sivne bayis chodesh, when you build a new house, you should make a fence around the roof. It's one of the many mitzvahs in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, you have more than 10% of all the mitzvahs in the Torah are written this week. So the Medrash Tanchuma says on that, Ki sivne bayis chodesh, haboyne bayis chodesh, keitzad tzorech levorech. Somebody who builds a new house, what bracha does he make? Says the Medrash, kach shonu Rabbi Seinu. This is what Rabbi Seinu said, haboyne bayis chodesh, tzorech levorech shechionu. You build a new house, you make a shechyonu, kedei lasos nachas ruach leyoytzrei. That you should make a nachas ruach for your creator, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksav Sefer asks, what's pshat in this medrash? Of course, if you make the bracha, it's to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else you make a bracha for? The medrash says, you make a bracha shechyonu to give nachas to Hashem. What else for? Every bracha is to give nachas ruach to Hashem. So what is the Medrash saying? Why you make the bracha to give nachas ruach? So he explains that when you build a house and you're making a bracha, you might wonder, why am I making a bracha on this house? This house I'm building is hevel, verik, it's nothing. It's a dover gashmi. Something to make a bracha on a house? So the Pasuk is telling me, somebody who builds a house, and he's building it, why? He's doing it, they can do mitzvahs. He'll build a fence around the roof. He'll do achnos azorchim. He'll put a mezuzah on the door. If somebody builds a house to be a beis vada chachomim, then it makes sense to make a brach on the house. In other words, the Medrash is telling us, mevorech shechayonu, you make a shechayonu. When do you make a shechayonu in your house? When your house is, when you're building your house, to give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when it makes sense to make a bracha on the house. But if all you care about in the house is for you to have a good time, then it's true. Who says you make a bracha then? So the Medrash is telling us that The bracha shachayonu is made when a person builds a house with the right kavanas in the building of the house. This always makes me think of a story I once heard of there was a person who worked in a construction company. He was the manager. They used to buy up old houses. They would fix them up and sell them. This man worked in this company for 30 years. Very successful company. He was the manager. He made a lot of money. One day after 30 years, he says to his wife, you know, I just feel I can't go on anymore. I've been doing this so long. I'm so exhausted. I'm so fed up with it. I just don't want to continue. His wife said, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have made enough money over the years. You can retire. Why don't you just retire now? So he says, you know, I didn't think of that. You're right. I'm going to retire. And he goes the next day to his boss and he tells him, I want to thank you for giving me a job all these years, but I've decided it's too much for me and I want to retire now. His boss says to him, you know, I'm disappointed to hear that, but I can certainly understand, and you're entitled to retire. But you've done so much for me, I want to make you a goodbye party. Right now, you're in the middle of building a house. Finish that house. And when you're finished, then we'll make a goodbye party, and you'll retire, and I can give you the gold watch. So he said, okay. He didn't really want his, but he felt, was he going to tell his boss no after 30 years? He was forced into it, and he said, okay, I'll finish this house in the middle of. And he knew it was going to take him a few more months. But when he got to work the next day, he felt his heart wasn't in it. He just couldn't do it anymore. He tried, but it wouldn't go. So everything that happened when he's building a foundation, cracks in the foundation, he just quickly covers them over with something, ignores them. There's problems with the plumbing, put some duct tape over it. Problem with electric, everything he found ways around to get around it. And this house, he knew, was really badly taken care of. And who knows, a couple of years, the whole house is going to collapse. But by then, he's long gone, it'll all be forgotten. But he feels, what can he do? He quickly finishes the house in a month, goes to the boss and says, I've done mine, it's over, I'm retiring. The boss says, thank you so much. And they said, we're going to have a goodbye party. They set up this goodbye party. And he gets up to speak there, the boss, and he says, you know, I've realized, I've been thinking about it, my whole business is because of you. All my success is the hard work you put in. I'm so appreciative to you. And I felt I owe you something. And I've decided I want to give you something. So I'm going, this house that you built now is a matana for you. You can keep it now. So imagine how this man feels. If had he known this house was going to be for his, had he realized he was going to keep it, he would have worked on it very differently. He would have put in much more koichas into it. And now look how it's lost out forever and ever. This pasuk is telling us, ki gesivna bayis chadash, when you're building a house, the purpose of the house, the Ksav Sefer is saying, is not for gashmius. It's got to be, lasas nachas ruach ligaitre, is to give nachas ruach to the Rabbeinu Shlom. That is when the house will have a kiyum. And the same thing applies in everything we do. Everything we do in this world for a short amount of time. When we put koichas into what we're doing, yes, it might be difficult sometimes. We're not in the mood for it. But you put koichas in. Lo asid lovay after 120, but not just after 120. You'll see as well during the year. By the end of the year, you'll feel the success you're having. You'll get somewhere with it. But at the time, it takes effort to put in. And afterwards, you'll reap the payers from it. I heard this week a very beautiful pshat. Something absolutely fascinated me. I jumped for joy when I heard it. And I'll tell you afterwards who I heard it from. Akasha, but I never thought of before. We have different people who go back from battle. Somebody builds a house, plants a vineyard, and gets married. And we could ask, there's somebody missing there. When a person has a child, you know the simcha he feels? And particularly if you look at the first child he has, because he doesn't know what he's going to turn into then at that moment. But especially when he has his first child, he feels an unbelievable simcha and he wants to spend time with that child. So imagine somebody goes off to battle and is about to have a child or has just had the first child. Wouldn't it make sense? He gets an exemption. If building a house can get you an exemption, what about having your first child? Why is there an exemption for that? And I thought it was such a beautiful kasha, and I thought, okay, let's see, the terrace is probably not going to be as good as the kasha. And the terrace was as good as the kasha. The terrace, he said, was that when you have a child, what's the purpose of having children? It's to raise them. It's to raise them and mechanach them in the right path. So your job is chinuch. So when that child is born, right away you begin with the first lesson in chinuch, and that is, in life, you can't always do what you want to do. If you have obligations, you have to fulfill those obligations. By him going off to battle, what greater lesson is there for that child to know his father wasn't around at the time, because his father had a job to help Klal Yisrael. What a lesson in chinuch for the child. Baron Spivak said that by his son's bris this week, and he said he thought of this kasha when he was laning last week. He just had the child, and he was thinking of that kasha. How important it is to be there by the bris, to be there with the child, and you don't get an exemption for that. And it's so true, but what a lesson in chinuch. And this is, of course, the greatest chinuch is when the children see what the father does. There's a pshat in this week's parasha, the Bali Musa say, is we have over here the story of the Ben Sora Moira. And the Ben Sayre Omar says about him that he didn't listen, l'koil aviv or l'koil imo, he didn't listen to his parents. So I once heard a pshat, the Bani Musa say, he didn't hear l'koil aviv. He didn't hear his father sitting and learning. He didn't hear at home, he should have heard his father sitting and learning a black Gemara. He didn't hear that, and that's what happened to him in the end. He has to see his father doing mitzvahs. If he doesn't see that at all, who knows what's going to be. I once heard somebody once went over to Reb Matisyahu Solomon, and he said to him, you know, my son is such a tzaddik. He's 3 years old, and he's playing with Lego blocks, and he puts one over here on his arm, one over here on his head, and he's shuckling away his davening. Don't you think it's going to be up to be grow up to be a tremendous tzaddik? What do you think? So Reb Matisyahu said to him, you know, I think maybe you should start davening with a minion more often. There's a very interesting Meshech Chachma at the beginning of the parasha. The Meshech Chachma explains the pasuk, "Ki seitze la milchama aloyvecho," when you go out to fight against your enemy, "Unesonoi Hashem rekech biyodecho," Hashem gives him in your hand, "V'shaviso shivyo," you capture a captive, and now you see an Eishes Yifastoya and you want to marry him. You want to take her for a wife. Why does it say in the Pasuk, "Unesonoi Hashem rekech yodecho," after you've won the war? Why doesn't it say, anytime you're in war, you see a fastoy, you can marry her? It says, "Unesonoi Hashem rekech yodecho," you've won the war. Why does it add those words in here, that you've won the war? See, he says a big chiddush. A chiddush, a big nafkumin aloch it's going to make in the dinamo of your fastoy. He says that what happens when people are fighting a war? Sometimes you don't win the war. It could be stalemate. The other side can win. You don't know if you're going to win the war. What happens then when nobody wins the war? You have prisoners of war. They have prisoners of war. And you won't remember that much, but the Israeli wars, the Yom Kippur war, and different wars that the Israelis went through after the war did prisoner exchanges. Usually they had a few thousand Arab prisoners, could have been in the tens of thousands, and the Arabs had a few Israeli prisoners. And then they would exchange 1,000 Arabs for one Israeli. And you'll say it's not a fair exchange, it's a very fair exchange, because one Israeli is worth more than 1,000 Arabs. But what is the pshat? What will happen over here? The Klal Yisrael fighting a war, and what happens if Klal Yisrael don't win the war? And now they need to make a prisoner exchange. So you want to give over the Yisrael Fastaya. But if you already made her into a Jewish woman, you can't give her over. She's your wife now. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling us that if you make a Jewish before the end of the war and you need to do a prisoner exchange, some Jew might have to languish in jail because you don't have a prisoner to give over. So after you've won the war and now you can do whatever you want, there's no prisoner exchanges, you won, then it's no problem. You can take the Fastaya. But before you win the war, you cannot marry your fastoya. Because just in case you need her to exchange later on, that wouldn't be fair for you to marry her now, and some Jew will remain in jail. There's another very interesting Meshech Chachma, very yesoidistic Meshech Chachma in this week's parasha, Perek Chafbeis Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk says, "Loi sire es chamoir achicha." You shall not see the donkey of your brother. Oi shoyer his ox noiflim baderech. V'salam to mem, you look away. Hakim tokim imoy. You help him pick up his ox. His ox is falling down. Says the Meshech Chachma, In Mishpatim, it has a similar pasuk, but there it says, Oivecha, your enemy. Here it says, Chamoirachicha, your brother. Why is it there it says enemy and here brother? And the Gemara in Pesachim talks about, why does it say your enemy? You're not allowed to have an enemy in Klal Yisrael. How could it be you see the ox of your enemy? You're not allowed to hate a yid. So the Gemara explains, it's talking about that you see he did Averas. So you hate the Averas. That's what you're hating about him. He's doing Averas, this person. And nevertheless, even though he's doing Averas, you still have to help him. So why doesn't it say it here again? It should say your enemy. So the Meshech Chachma says, that pasuk Mishpatim is talking about before the Chet HaEgel. Before the Chet HaEgel, Klai Yisrael went a very high madrega. So if you saw the ox, if you saw the ox of your enemy, you have to help him. You see, he did a Chet. So you have to help him even though he did a Chet. But once you've done the Chet HaEgel, you can't look at another Yid as your enemy because he's doing a Chet. Because as much as he's doing a Chet, you're also doing Chatoim. You want to hate him because he's Averis? How could you? What about you? Are you any better? You just, maybe he chooses different Averis than you choose. Who is then Klai Yisrael who doesn't do Averis? So you don't like the way, let's say, Mrs. Mankrishma, then maybe you talk Lashnara. You don't like this Chet he does? He does that Chet. Everybody does a different Chet. So you can't look at a Jew anymore as an enemy. So in this week's Parsha, it has to use a Lashon of Chamoy Rechicha. There's nobody as your enemy anymore because there's nobody you can hate because of Averis. Just very quickly, I just heard that Arizal, by the remark of Reb Moshe Kudavira's Levaya, and he said over there, Reb Moshe Kudavira, from the greatest Kabbalists that ever exist, that ever lived, and he said over, he wrote the Sefer Talmud Devarim, and he said over that the word chet has another meaning besides Avera. The word chet can mean something missing. We see in Tanakh it's used like that. And he touched the posik. The Levi said over, V'chiyeh ve'ish chet mishpat movis. When a person, there's a chet, there's missing the mishpat movis. There's missing a judgment for him to die. Someone like Moshe Kodaviri, he said, never did an aver in his life. There's no reason why a person like him should die. V'chiyeh ve'ish, when there is by man, chet missing the mishpat moves, the judgment why he should die, the humos, and he still died. How could it be? Vasalisa oisoi, you have to depend it alo eitz on the original chet of Adam Rishon. There was a gzera on the Adam Rishon to die, and people would have to die. So even though he doesn't deserve to die, in the end, every person has to die because of the chet of Adam Rishon. He ate from the eitz hadas. So he touched the posik. Vasalisa oisoi, you make it dependent alo eitz. When you go home, you look at Pashim Shan, the Pasuk. Shabbos. Shabbos.